set, go. That about half worked. That's pretty good. In a church this social, if you get half the people to sit, that's pretty good. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to corporately worship you. This is not a burden, a legalistic, difficult burden you have laid on our shoulders to come together as your people and worship you and hear from your word and sing your praises and pray to you, read your word. This is a joy. Thank you that you've given us the joy of worshiping Christ. We are free from our sin, from Satan, from death, from hell, and now we worship you. So help us coming into this room with all sorts of different situations and circumstances, challenges and trials even. Help us now to effectively lay the burden to the side and drink in the pure water of your word. Refresh us, encourage us, and bless us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are almost finished with the one another's, I believe, not finished with living out the one another's. That continues until the end of life or Christ returns. But studying the one another's, and we are in Galatians 6, specifically Galatians 6, 2. I'm going to read Galatians 6, 1 through 5 in order to set the context, and then we will dive into verse 2 and seek to understand it and apply it. Galatians 6, 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Our focus, as I have said this morning, is just verse 2. Very simple, very focused target here. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fascinating as we start to think about how this is a fairly general idea, bear one another's burdens, and yet Paul teaches the Galatians and us about 2,000 years ago that if you do this, one another, nothing less than the fulfillment of the law of Christ happens. So this is a big deal. We need to see three truths from Paul's thought here this morning. First, believers will have burdens. Believers will have burdens. That's implied. Second, we should share burdens as the church and as Christians, not hide them. We should share burdens, not hide them. Third, bearing burdens is deeply Christ-like. First truth to consider, believers will have burdens. Alelon ta bare basta dezete. Bear one another's burdens. We often want to pretend as if bare in the Greek, burdens, do not exist. In fact, that's something that mainstream and upwardly mobile Americans are pretty good at, aren't we? We're pretty good at pretending like we don't have burdens. You think about the famous greeting that we all use, and I'm not here to say revise this in a major way, but how are you doing? And you would say, fine, there's a little bit of honesty there. Normally you would hear what?
Terrible.
Terrible. Okay, thankful. Thank you. This is participation exercise is off to a swimming start. Good. Good. Now, maybe you are doing good, so you're not lying or something like this, but in general, we sort of just play the ping pong of how are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. That's it. We're done. End of story. Let's go home. And in many days, God has blessed us and things are going well. Praise God. But on other days, and perhaps even seasons of our life, and perhaps even an extended time of our life, we are actually bearing bare burdens. We have something heavy on our shoulders. We didn't necessarily want it to be there, but it is there. Now, this word in this passage is not defined in a close technical way, burden. The passage more broadly, verses 1 through 5, is about our approach to sin. Sin is going to happen. I talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm sure it has been ricocheting throughout your mind ever since. You've not been able to stop thinking about that Sunday school lesson. Joke. Sin is going to happen. You sin. I sin. We sin. So we have to be honest about this. We have to know it's going to happen. We certainly don't excuse it. We certainly don't fail to fight it. We pray against it. We are not antinomians, as we've heard from the pulpit. Absolutely not. And yet, we also have to be realistic. We know, verse 1, that brothers will be caught in transgressions, won't they? Brothers and sisters are going to get caught. It's going to happen. So Paul says to the Galatian church, there needs to be a process. You who are spiritual have to restore the one who is caught in a spirit of gentleness. And you have to watch yourself. Keep watch on yourself. It's literally like you have to set a watchman over yourself. Not other people, first and foremost. You're not first and foremost the watchman for someone else. That is a role that God gives to many of us in certain capacities. Absolutely. All of us, from age 8 to age 98 in this room, have to fundamentally keep watch on ourselves. If we don't do this, we ourselves can be tempted and can fall into temptation, lest you too be tempted. That is exactly what Paul says. Here's a further encouragement, though. Just as you can get caught in sin of a brother or sister alongside you, so you can help carry their load. So the negative part of this passage, as you're engaging a brother or sister in Christ, is if they're tempted, watch yourself. You too could be tempted. You're not above them. There's no super Christians. There's just normal Christians. We are all temptable. But the positive way that Paul frames this relationship in the local church is that you can also, verse 2, here we are, bear one another's burdens. You can help them carry a load, not salvifically, not to save them. That's not what Paul means. That's not what I mean. But there is heaviness on their back. Paul does indeed picture the church as having stresses and struggles and battles. And he pictures it as a weight, like a physical weight on your shoulders. That's what a burden is. A burden is a spiritual reality that is so taxing, it's almost physical upon you. That's what is going to happen in Galatia. That's what is happening. That is what is going to happen in Conway. That is what is going to happen for every single Christian there is. Now, there's a spectrum of burdens, of course. You may right now have terrific burdens. You may feel like you can barely breathe. The weight is so strong upon you. Or you may be presently flying high. Breathing may come naturally. There's a spectrum of experience. But whatever the case is now, Paul is teaching us to frame expectations rightly. You will have burdens at some point. We all do. We all will. There's pain and sorrow and struggle and sand in the gears in a fallen world. This is all because of a real historical fall by a real historical Adam and a real historical garden. Adam really did, with Eve, eat forbidden fruit. It really did give us all a sin nature. And that sin nature means there is a whole lot of suffering and pain unleashed in the world. And the effect of that suffering and pain is, again, that you and I carry weight on our backs. It's not necessarily, by the way, sin that Paul is speaking of here. Bear one another's sin burden. That is true. But burden is a broader category of suffering and pain and challenge. And again, it all hits us. We have, let's just think through some burdens that you have, that our church has. We have familial troubles. We have small health challenges, the kind of nagging ones. We have medium health challenges, the ones that aren't tiny. They're not a crisis. They're tough. They're ongoing. We have huge health challenges, somebody on the precipice of death itself. We have difficult relationships. We have hard work circumstances. We have sorrow over loved ones. There are friends who walk away. There are believers hanging by a thread that burdens you. There are conflicts that are bitterly hard to resolve. You try to resolve it, okay? You genuinely make an effort. Doesn't resolve. You make another effort. Doesn't resolve. Why? Why is this part of our experience? There are burdens in this world. There are wounds that stay open. There are efforts at forgiveness and reconciliation that go awry. There are babies who require constant attention. That's, in fact, babies, really. Constant attention, night after night, getting up, not getting good sleep, that wears you down. Over time, it is a burden. There are children who are not in the baby or infant or even young years stage who need around-the-clock care. Around-the-clock care. You cannot leave them. You cannot go out to do errands even. You have to be with them, and you love them, but it's a challenge. There are children struggling to grow up and mature and age. There are single people desperately wanting to be married, praying, no resolution, burden. There are small financial challenges, medium financial challenges, and huge financial challenges. Another word for burdens closely related is suffering. All of us bear burdens. All of us need help. So this leads to our second truth. We should share burdens as Christians, not hide them. I'm not calling for a policy of radical honesty such that if somebody asks you how you're doing, you give them a 25-point list of everything that is hard. That's maybe a little too much on the other side. But the point stands from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:2. Burdens need sharing. Paul tells you and me, bear one another's burdens. It's not an option. It's a part of the Christian life. Now, of course, we find our ultimate help and hope in God, not in our brothers or sisters, not in a congregation, not in the universal body of Christ. Our ultimate help is and always must be God and God alone. And even if you don't have a church family, even if your church family is taken from you, or if you're on the mission field and your church family is six people meeting in a basement somewhere in a clandestine way, your help and your hope is ultimately God. So don't misunderstand. But the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, nonetheless says, bear one another's burdens. Allelon, one another. Take on someone else's. The reason fellow believers can be a help to you at all is because they are a Christian. They look to the Lord. They pray. They trust God. They strive to know the Lord, to kill their sin, to discipline themselves by the power of the Spirit. God is at the center of all this care, all this help, all this burden sharing. But Christians are not supposed to only commend one another to God. No, we're also supposed to, again, allelon. Enter in for one another. None of us is outside this. It's not that there are some Christians at Grace Bible Church who really are burdened and need care, and then there's the self-sufficient ones who don't need care and help. It's that the entire church needs it. Some of us struggle more than others to admit this, to ask for help, to open up a conversation, even a very private one, with a brother or sister in the church where we make this clear. We might struggle, but we all need help all the way up from the top of our leadership to the newest member. It's not that elders, by the way, don't have burdens, don't have challenges, don't suffer. Everyone in the Christian church carries weight of suffering and pain and challenge. So God has taken a key. And God has unlocked our heart. And now the door of our heart is open to others. Before, perhaps we wanted to hide, both to hide our burdens and to hide from others' burdens. Those are two different instincts. You might want to hide your own. You might want to hide from everybody else's. You don't want the weight. But in Christ, we both share our burdens appropriately, carefully, and then we also embrace those of other people. And this is part of how we serve one another as a body. Serving in the body of Christ is so good for us. It's part of how we grow. Your gifts are likely elegantly aligned with someone else's needs. God has made it so that it is not the case that the only people who minister meaningfully in the local church are preachers and teachers. Preachers and teachers lead the mission. If we don't have them, the whole thing founders. But God has created a body through the blood of Christ, and God has distributed gifts all through that body. You may never come up here and preach or teach. I don't know. But you have, as a Christian, gifts. Gifts of service. Gifts by which to bless others. God has wired you and fashioned you for this. Some of the best gifts to be given are the gifts that, of course, transmit love. Love being the greatest of the gifts. Love, joy, healing, mercy, strength, hope. Some of the best ministry done in the local church is ministry that is not public, that is not on sermon audio, that no one is going to see, that no one is going to applaud at a conference. Some of the best ministry done is unknown, but it matters to God. Much of it is quiet. Much of it is anonymous. Much of it is humble. God sees it all. God is glorified by it all. Let me just have a quick word. You may think, I don't have gifts by which to serve the body. I wish I did. I wish I had something to contribute to this exploding church. I got in too late. I don't have it. Maybe it is just a matter of you talking to the person in your row. I was going to say pew. See, I'm showing a dated Baptist reference framework here. We have these soft chairs nowadays, okay? Maybe it's just you getting to know somebody sitting nearby you, literally. Listen. One person. Talking to them, getting to know them, ministering to them, blessing them, praying for them. Maybe that is all you do. What if that helps keep someone in the church? What if that begins to heal a wound that has been open for years, decades? What if that leads to reconciliation? What if that just leads to greater encouragement? Does that matter? It does. It matters to God, and it matters to them. We need to see our third truth as we hasten to a close. Bearing burdens is deeply Christ-like. Our third truth, we ramp way up, way beyond you and me. Bearing burdens is deeply Christ-like. Bearing, I love teaching while they're singing Christmas songs, by the way. Always enjoy that. It's like a little soundtrack wafting underneath. Bearing one another's burdens is so significant. Verse 2, second part, that it fulfills the law of Christ? Wait a minute. We're just talking about encouraging, engaging one person after the service or in your care group or something like this, one quiet, anonymous relationship, helping carry the load, praying for this person, meeting with them throughout the week, maybe. And Paul, the master theologian of the entire Bible, is saying that fulfills the law of Christ. Yes, it's true. There are shades of variation among different theologians and exegetes about exactly what the law of Christ represents and how we are to work it out. But suffice it to say that all the teaching and moral instruction of the crucified and resurrected and ascended Son of God bears down on this. Bear one another's burdens. Is that a big deal? That is a very big deal, isn't it? This should encourage us tremendously. Why is bearing one another's burdens such a big deal to Paul? The answer is very simple. Because this is what Christ did. Christ bore our burden. Christ fulfilled all the Father gave him to do, all the Father planned before the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. All that work that the Father handed to the Son did But what did the Father hand to his Son, and the Son then execute through the power of the Spirit? What was it but a burden? A burden of sin. That's what the Father effectively hands his Son. Pay for the sins of your people, of my people. And along with that, as the effect of that, drink my wrath. That's what the Father gave the Son. You want to talk about burdens? That is the burden of burdens. And there's a little bit of a quick reset here for us. You and I have real challenges and trials. I think I've tried to make that clear. Remember that you will never bear the weight of your sin as a believer, and you will never drink the cup of the Father's wrath. There's not a single drop in that cup. It's drained to the full. Your challenges are real. I don't dismiss them. But you will never bear the weight of your sin before the Father, having to acquit yourself before God. And you will, as a result, never taste even a millisecond of divine wrath. Do you understand this? You're never going to know what it feels like. You're never going to have to blink and hope it's over. It's done. It's taken away. So the greatest burden of them all has been borne by the Son. So, Christian, when you bear the burden of a fellow member here or a fellow believer, you are emulating Christ. You are a tiny little insufficient picture of him. You cannot wash anyone's sin away, including your own, let alone someone else. You cannot contribute your works to God's works and thereby justify yourself fully. No, that is an unbiblical framework. The only way for you to stand before God, holy and righteous, is for an alien righteousness to be handed to you that is no part of your works, no part of your deeds. But when you, having received God's grace and being justified by faith through repentance in the name of Christ, when you bear someone else's burdens, you emulate and image Christ. You fulfill everything Christ did and taught. This is a big deal. I don't mean, though, again, that I'm setting the standard of bearing burdens impossibly high, like one out of 400 of us is going to meet this standard. I mean that when you, again, walk with someone through a challenge, when you don't abandon them, when they visit this church and you are the member who doesn't instantly dash to your friend to catch up, as you may well need to do, but you I almost said embrace a visitor. You may want to be careful about that. That may be too much. Okay, but maybe. I'll let you work that out. But when you welcome the visitor, theoretically embrace them, when you, as you get to know someone, pray for them, when you help them with tasks, when you think intelligently about their situation, when you go out to coffee with them for a little bit longer time and you just listen. You don't even you know, click the answer button over and over again. Oh, well, okay, you've talked for a minute. Let me just fire some answers back at you. No, when you just, at least for a good amount of time, just listen to them. Sometimes people just need someone to listen to them, don't they? Have you experienced this? The ministry of listening. My mother-in-law, Jody Ware, at Southern Seminary in Clifton and Louisville, she goes out to coffee with innumerable women. Many women all over America and the world think they are Jody Ware's best friend because she's so kind. But a lot of what she'll do in going out to coffee, now here's this very wise woman, but a lot of what she ends up doing is listening, just hearing from someone about what's going on. There is such mercy that flows in a human sense when someone just sits across from you and listens and cares. They're not, oh yeah, okay, yeah, sorry, got to get the oven set. No, what did you say? You're really struggling? Oh, sorry, hold on. That's a funny meme. No, when you actually, we've all been there, we've all done that. When you actually just sit and give them the gift of presence. Isn't that what Job's counselors got wrong? Isn't that the test they flunked? Wasn't a huge part of what Job's counselors were supposed to do was to sit there and listen to him? And instead, they listened for a bit. And then they started firing answers. It's not that we never give truth. Of course we give truth. Of course we help people. Of course we counsel theologically and biblically as we're able. But don't underplay, I guess I'm just trying to say, the ministry of listening compassionately. Sometimes that in itself begins healing that has been waiting, building as a need, growing for years and even decades. Text them with a verse to encourage them. Bear their burden, a practical way to do it. Take them a meal. Help them financially. Help them physically. Read a good Christian book with them week by week or on a monthly basis. Give them a few hours outside the home to do errands or just drink a cup of coffee in blissful peace. Start a monthly time for the single men and women of the church who are struggling in a society where the script to marriage has absolutely collapsed for men and women. And women are alone, and men are alone, and the two exist in the church body, but there's not really a structure by which they would meet and talk and get to know one another, with the eventual outcome of some of them marrying in the church. What's more beautiful than that? Maybe you could just have the singles over to your home or something, or have an event or something like this. Or we want to think about all different categories of members in the church in order to bear burdens. We can't make their life go right. We can't solve everything. We never are God in this process. And yet, we want to hear what the Apostle Paul says. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So application as we close. I have just three ideas here. First, ask others what their burden is. Just ask them, hey, you know, get through the initial pleasantries, okay? Football playoff, good. Who you cheering for? Okay, what are you baking for Christmas season? Choose sex-specific or gender-specific conversational introductions. And then you could ask somebody, what's burdening you? What weight are you carrying? Just ask them. Second, you can also share your burden with them in an appropriate way as relationship allows. Here's something you could pray for me in. This is challenging for me. And then thirdly, pray to find ways to help others. Just ask God to use you in this way. And then don't wait for a lightning bolt from heaven. That's not really how the will of God works, at least most of the time. Enter in. Find someone. Most of the time, God blesses momentum, doesn't he? So find someone to help. Pray for that and act on that. It's not very complicated. You don't have to have an elder's permission. You don't have to, you know, have a majestic celestial event in the sky to help you figure out who to help. There's a pretty wide base of targets there. Well, we need to conclude. Bear one another's burdens. In remembering and focusing on this one another, let me just give you this concluding thought. Remember that the key reason to bear one another's burdens is because we are Christians, and because as a Christian, Christ has borne our burden. And I give you that word so that you would be free. It's a paradoxical reality, isn't it? To walk in this fallen, cursed, troubled realm and yet have rest in Christ. In conclusion, even as I have tried to be realistic about the burdens you and I bear, I remind you that Christ has borne your burden, that your greatest problem and your greatest need is taken care of, that you will never face the wrath of God. And if you are here and you are not sure about your soul and you are not sure if you know the living God, my prayer for you today is this, that you would give Christ the burden of your sin, that you would stop carrying it on your own shoulders, but give it to Christ. The strangest thing, perhaps, about Jesus the Christ is this. He wants to bear our burdens. He took joy in honoring the Father, obeying the Father, and washing his people clean. So today, give him your burden. As an unbeliever, repent of your sin, trust Christ, and even as a believer afresh, recommit yourself to God. The greatest need you have is the need that Christ has met. Let's pray. Father, thank you that there is an all-sufficient Savior. Thank you that Christ has borne our burden, a staggering burden, one that did not deflect off of him lightly even, one that took him to his very knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet he did not flinch. He did not turn back. He kept the mission. He made atonement for sin. And today, all who are in Christ are perfectly free, completely forgiven of our sin. Please, in knowledge and remembrance of this hope, let us be those who are set free, not in legalism, but in joy to bear one another's burdens. In Jesus' name, amen.